I'm Jason Fischel from the University of Delaware Plant and Soil Science Department, and today I'll be talking to you a little bit about manganese oxides and chromium. So it's a nice complement to the talk we heard before. So as mentioned earlier, that chromium has been traditionally thought of as an anthropogenic contaminant, and you may see these four images and think, how are they all related? I talked about a continuum, and these are four different discontinuous things. But they all took chrome to make. From stainless steel to yellow paint pigments, they all required chromium. And that chromium had to come from somewhere. So the chromium was mined and from around the world and was imported often to this northern New Jersey area, which was a heavily industrialized region. And the chrome was processed there. So you created from chrome 3, this naturally occurring mineral, to a chrome 6, and they extracted most of the chrome 6, and the waste product was this hard granule substrate, which you can see underneath the ground here. And they thought back in the 50s that this was a great fill material. So as they expanded around the area around New York, it was a really cheap way to fill in marshlands and all these other areas. And what ended up happening was a lot of chrome 6 remained in this processed ore. So fast forward to the 2000s, and a lot of people were showing up with systematic pointers of chromium poisoning. So they had dermatological rashes, and there were lung cancer. So the EPA went back in and found out there were tons of contaminated sites all around northern New Jersey. There were 120, and the state limit for the NJDEP is 25 ppm chromium-6. And a lot of these sites had over 24,000 ppm. And everyone just assumed that all this chromium-6 was easily mobilized. But I think from doing what I've determined from doing some lab experiments working with manganese oxides in pure systems was maybe not all of this chromium-6 is easily mobilized as we once thought. So New Jersey sort of gets a bad rap for being an industrial state, which it deserves. And when most places, when it rains, everything greens. As you saw in California, they haven't had rain for 4 months, and everything's a little more lush after a lot of rain. But in New Jersey, when they had rain in all these sites, it would mobilize the chromium-6, and you'd form this yellow and eventually a green crust, depending on the chromium speciation. And this is a problem, because as we found out, chromium's really toxic. We've all heard about PCBs and dioxins, but chromium's right up there with all these other toxins. So the specific site that I chose to do my research on so most of the sites in New Jersey have been actively remediated. However, there's one big one where there's ongoing remediation, which is lucky for me and unfortunate for the people that live there. So there was an electric plating plant right around where all these other sites are. And in 1983, there was a particularly large rupture of this chromic acid tank, and a whole bunch of chromium spilled into the groundwater. Of course, they put this electroplating facility on the top of a hill in a very residential neighborhood, and they let NJDEP know, so they installed test wells and some recovery wells. But they only recovered about 20% of what had been spilled, and this was due to complex groundwater hydrology and numerous other factors. And after 2 years of trying, they decided to give up. It was out of sight, out of mind. No one really thought about it until this company declared bankruptcy, and in this abandoned fire station, they went into the basement, and they saw, if you look in the bottom lower left-hand corner, this yellow precipitant forming, and that's chrome-6. What happens is the plume was moving its way down the hill, and it was coming in contact with these basements, and basements evaporate water, so they pull water from the ground, and when the water evaporates and comes out of the basement, it leaves behind any dissolved salts. And the chromium was being left behind. So when the EPA declared this site a superfund after NJDEP wasn't really doing anything, a branch of the EPA formed under the Superfund Act, the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, went in and looked at some of these basements. And they determined if you had a basement in the plume site, you had a 1 in 3 chance of getting cancer because of chromium. And In the report they published, they said, this is basically worse than if you lived in Love Canal. So it's pretty unfortunate. So to understand what's going on with chromium in the environment, as we all know. Now, you have chromite, the chrome 3 species, and this is not toxic. It's essential for metabolism in both people and plants. But because of manganese oxides, you can create chrome 6. It doesn't happen too often, but it does in the environment. And because of that, manganese oxides play a huge role in chromium cycling. And then there are a whole bunch of ways that chromium can be reduced, which is good. So the original project that I started out with was looking at a very fundamental study. I took chromium 3 and reacted it with a variety of manganese oxides. And from these, I wanted to characterize sort of to understand a little bit more about what was going on in this system. But from this, I discovered that maybe our approach to how chromium 6 was being released wasn't correct. And that was through the use of excess. So from that, I sort of wondered what's happening with chromium 6 in the environment. But first, we'll talk a little bit about manganese oxides. They're my favorite soil mineral. So they're super common. They're very ubiquitous in the environment. They form fine coatings or aggregates. There are a variety of origins from them, and they play a huge role in the cycling of contaminants. They can absorb a variety of metals. They're strong oxidizers. And they really drive a lot of what goes on in the subsurface environment. So you can see an example of a fine coating of manganese oxides in the bottom right-hand corner. So as we saw before, here's the general redox reaction, just so we have an idea of what's going on. The chromium 3 and manganese 4, the manganese oxidizes the chromium, and you form this chromate, which is absorbed to manganese oxide, and then manganese 2. And here, just to go over what I was doing in my lab system, here are the 5 manganese oxides I used. Today I'll talk about hydrous manganese oxide in the center and acid bernicite in the top right. And that's because they were two of the more reactive, so the systems are more interesting, just to give you an idea of what was going on. The hydrous manganese oxide is highly amorphous, as you can see from the diffuse structure in these SEM images, and the acid bernicite, because of the lattice structure, is more crystalline. And just to make sure I'm not pulling one over for you, here are the XRD diffractograms of the images. So what's happening on the surface of hexagonal bernicite is you have these edge sites, and that's primarily where the reaction's occurring. So what happens is, here's our chromium continuum. We have chromium 3 in solution, and what was thought was that chromium 3, some of it precipitated on the surface of the manganese oxide, and what was oxidized of the chromium was released into your aqueous environment. But what I found was that chromium 6 was also being absorbed to the surface. And we're not exactly sure what the mechanism that's controlling this is, but clearly the process is more complex than was given credit. So how we did this was through the use of synchrotron radiation. You basically send X-rays at your sample, and this excites the particles, and they give off light. So here's excited chromium. And chromium's really nice because you have this super distinctive pre-edge feature. So if you look to the left, you have this peak, the spike, that forms only when you have chromium 6. And if you look to the right, when you see chromium 3, the non-toxic form, there's an absence of the peak. And when we mix, when you have a combination of the two, the peak corresponds to that height. And it works out really nicely. You have this linear calibration curve that can be derived from running a series of standards with a mixed state of chromium 6. So the original work that I did was looking at these, and some other group members, was looking at reacting these manganese oxides. And everyone else had always said, well, chromium 6 is produced, but it's released into solution once the reaction occurs. And using these excess techniques, we were able to look at the actual solid sample in situ. And from that, we determined that there was actually still chromium 6 on the surface. And if you look at the bar graph, there's quite a bit. Of the total concentration of chromium, it's almost half as chromium 6. And this is something that the literature hadn't really cited before. Which made me wonder, is this just an artifact of my pure system, or will it still occur in more complex, more representative of natural systems? So then what happened was we looked at just the standard Bakht reaction and gave it a little more time, 6 hours to run, but I introduced different salts to try and replicate the natural environment. And what we found was, although there was less chromium 6 absorbed on the surface, there still was chromium 6 absorbed on the surface. So this sort of generated the idea of, everyone in the literature has always said, chromium 6 leaches from soils. but there haven't really been quantification of rates or other things. So that led me to the site in New Jersey. So here's the EPA's, they drilled test wells into the site. So this is after the property had been demolished, which was in February of this year, and they bored these test monitoring wells, and I was really fortunate enough to receive some of the corings from the wells, and those are the soil samples that I've been working with. So my work's just beginning there. But you can see one really interesting thing was that the EPA, when they looked at sampling the groundwater depth, there's a clear, it's a little hard to see the images, but the concentration of chromium-6 in the groundwater is much lower, it's closer to the surface, and concentrations increase as you go deeper. So I thought that it would be natural that the soils would also exhibit a similar trend of increasing concentrations as you go deeper. And what I found was that the concentrations were about 3,000 ppm across the board. It didn't matter whether you were at the surface or 20 feet under, the concentrations were the same. So now, right now, what I'm working on is looking at trying to react these soils to replicate, to give the EPA more information about what's going on. So I'm trying to characterize the soils for them, and one remediation strategy they're trying right now is the introduction of, they're actually using molasses to simulate microbial growth to try and act as a reductant. So what I've done right now is using these microcosms, which I can control the EH and replicate the conditions that are occurring in these wells to see what, so I can treat those with molasses as well to see what's happening on a smaller scale. So if we look at the bottom in blue, these are our standards in blue and red. So it's the chrome 3 and the chrome 6. And then in the green color was the original soil. And then in this blue and purple are soils that have been treated to look at the EPA's method for remediation. And as you can see, there's a reduction in the content of the chrome 6. So it's working, just perhaps not as fast as they would like. And this is the beginning of what I hope to be another exciting chapter in my research. So as I move forward, I'm going to work on characterizing the soils, I'll conduct additional studies, and really the goal of it is to share my findings with the EPA. And those are really about the desorption of this chromium-6 from soils to try and prevent further release of chrome-6 from these soils into the groundwater in New Jersey. And I just want to give a special thanks to my funding agencies, my advisor, Don Sparks, our lab manager, Jerry, and all my group members who are here today. I couldn't do it without you guys. So thank you.